Welcome to the People and Projects Podcast, where you'll find interviews and insights to help you lead people and deliver projects. You can find us on the web at www.i-leadonline.com/podcast. This is Andy Kaufman. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the People and Projects Podcast. As you start this new year, let me ask you a personal question. How satisfied are you with your financial situation? Though it doesn't seem like a question for a podcast on leadership and project management, here's what I found. There's seemingly endless resources available on the internet to learn more about managing your finances. Yet, I find that many of my coaching clients, once I get to know them well enough, confess that financial stress is something they deal with, particularly in this economy. Since work-life balance is an important objective for all who desire to lead people and projects, I wanted to invest a cast on the topic of our personal finances. The start of a year is often a great time to reboot old habits to start fresh with new ones. When it comes to financial advice, I turn to my friend, author, and personal finance expert, Matt Bell. I had the opportunity to talk with Matt recently and look forward to sharing that interview with you now. I'm joined today by personal finance author and speaker Matt Bell. Matt's the author of two books, Money, Purpose, Joy, and Money Strategies for Tough Times, both published by NAV Press. Matt's a widely quoted and consulted expert on personal finance and has been a guest on several nationally syndicated television and radio talk shows. Beyond all that, Matt's a trusted friend. So, hey, friend, thank you for joining us for the People and Projects Podcast.
Andy, it is my pleasure.
We are starting a new year, and so this is like an ideal time to set some New Year's resolutions. And of course, we all know it's easier to set resolutions, but difficult to follow through with them. So what are a couple of your top financial recommendations for this new year that are practical enough that anybody could actually follow through on?
I would say two things, Andy. I would say number one, develop a plan for the year, a spending plan, a cash flow plan, what is commonly thought of as a budget. And I'll tell you, people hate the use of a budget. When I talk in workshops about using a budget, people usually, the corners of their mouths start to curl down. They tend to not like the idea of using a budget. It just sounds restrictive, or it's going to rain on their parade. It's going to, you know, not allow them any sort of financial freedom. But I'll tell you, the use of a budget is one of the most freeing, one of the most powerful, productive tools that anybody can use for successful, wise money management. And so I just really encourage people, especially at the beginning of a year, to create a plan for how much income is likely to come in, where is that money going to go then, because that's the foundation, that's the tool that enables you to move toward the goals that you're really excited about. It's not the end goal, it's the means to the more interesting, more enjoyable goals, like buying a house, if this is the year to buy the house, or getting out of debt, or whatever it is that you want to accomplish. And the second thing I would say, Andy, is to find an accountability partner. Tell somebody about your goals. And for someone who's got a goal that might involve getting away from some financial pain, perhaps this is the year to get out of debt, it can rearrange your bones to think about telling somebody about your debt. But I'll tell you, if you come clean and tell some trusted friend that, hey, I've got some debt, this is my year to be done with debt, I'd like you to just ask me about it, encourage me along the way, it is one of the most powerful things that someone can do. And sometimes what happens is that in telling someone, it creates the space or the freedom for them to come clean with you and to say, you know what, I've got debt too, and you guys can be each other's accountability partners. So those are two of the first goals or objectives that come to mind for the new year.
Yeah, that's actually great advice. I can think of a very close friend who had been struggling financially, and it turns out there was a Dave Ramsey session that was going to be available. It's through their church over, I think it's something like an 8 or 12, it's a number of weeks, and they just felt they couldn't even afford going to it. So I said, all right, here's the deal. If you will go to it, I'll actually pay the money for it.
Wow.
And so they signed up for it. And this is what I found, is on the weeks before that I call them, they actually go.
That's right.
So it kind of reinforces your whole accountability thing that in this case, I feel like I'm holding them accountable. But to the degree that someone says, you know what, just like Matt said, I'm going to get serious this year. I will just have this relationship with someone. I'll check in with them weekly, maybe go to something like that with someone or read through your book together with someone. But there's something about doing that with someone else.
There is something. It's almost difficult to explain, but there is something almost magical about just telling somebody else. I mean, whether it's a positive goal or this kind of get out of pain sort of goal, there's something about getting it off your shoulders. So you're not just trying to pursue it by yourself, but to have someone to walk with you through that process is tremendously helpful.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the B word, right? Budget. And I know a lot of people do struggle with that one. But, so, you know, something that I found at times, and I'd just be interested in your feedback on this, is sometimes, right, don't create the budget, but just start tracking, you know? And so, because sometimes people feel just handicapped because I don't even know where to start with my budget. But if they start tracking where they're spending, even if they don't use a budget to constrain their spending, at least they have an idea and then could maybe take the next step. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We need information. I mean, you think about any area of life. If you have budgetary responsibility at work and the boss calls you in at the end of the quarter and they say, how are we doing against plan? And you say, well, I don't know, feels okay to me. That's probably not going to fly. We need some information. We need some feedback. You know, you can't drive a car without a dial that tells you if you have fuel or not or how fast you're going. We need feedback, and so we need good information to plan our lives on. And so knowing where the money's going, as you say, tracking, that's the part that people really don't like, especially. But when you track it and you see where it's going, it's actually very, very freeing. And I'll tell you, Andy, you used a word, you talked about constraining. Really, I would say, and that's so, you know, people think that a budget will be constraining, but it's not. When you go to the grocery store and you take a look at how much you've spent on groceries this month and you see that you've got $75 left in your plan to spend, you go to the store with a sense of freedom and peace of mind of knowing that if I spend that $75, now the other parts of my plan are going to work. I'm going to be able to save as I wanted to. I'm going to be able to pursue the other goals as I wanted to. It's actually very freeing.
Yeah, well said. You know, one of the benefits, I suppose, of all the recent economic struggles is it's made a lot of us do things like that, of like, well, what am I spending on? And or how much debt do I have? And how wise is it to do this or that? And yet I can still think of a number of people, friends, colleagues, that have just amassed this level of debt that, I mean, everyone knows they shouldn't be there. We know we shouldn't be there. And yet it seems insurmountable to get out of it. So I'm interested in your take on how bad is the whole personal debt problem these days. And Matt, what are your recommendations for those who just feel like they're in a hole they just cannot crawl out of?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of ways to answer that first question about how bad is the debt problem. I mean, for anybody who has a lot of debt, it's, you know, it's 100% bad for them.
Yeah.
And so, but I mean, nationally, about 80% of households use credit cards. And of those, a little over half carry a balance from month to month. But you look at the foreclosure issue and you see there's just a lot of strain. A couple of million people lost their homes to foreclosure in 2009. There's a lot more kind of on the edge. They're behind on their payments. So the debt problem is significant in this country. And so a couple of things that people can do. I mean, people have a tendency, I think we all have a tendency to look for a quick solution. We're feeling some pain. We want a quick out of that pain.
Sure.
And that tends to lead to not such great decisions. People tend to borrow on their home equity. They tend to borrow on their 401k plan. They tend to go toward a debt settlement company, which I think people should never do. They tend to work with a credit counseling agency to get on a debt management plan, which may not be a terrible idea. But the first step I want anybody to take is to use a plan so you know where the money's going, and everybody that I've worked with over the years can always spend more effectively. And so I would encourage people to do kind of a line-by-line look at their spending and see what could I do a better job of, what could I do in groceries, what could I do in entertainment and vacations and clothing and all these things. And I've seen people do radical things. I've seen people go from a two-car household to a one-car household when they really got serious about getting out of debt. Mm-hmm. I've seen people sell homes. There's nothing easy about that. But they got out from under a significant monthly payment on their home. They got to a better situation there, and it freed up money to get out of debt. I know a person that went on a spending fast. She didn't stop spending on everything, obviously, but she stopped spending on everything that seemed discretionary for about 6 months. And so there are lots of things that most people can do just in monthly cash flow to free up money to accelerate the process of getting out of debt.
Just the way you respond even reminds me of stories that you'll share in your newsletters. I really enjoy them. They're free. I like how you keep them really concise. The advice is very practical. And I personally find, Matt, that I love to just read the tips you share on maybe some free tools or some inexpensive tools to help people with their finances or save money, whether it be sites for coupons or whatever. So what are some of your favorite tools these days that people may not know about?
I'll tell you, there are so many great free tools on the internet these days. A tool that I'm using to work our budget in our household is called Mint.com, mm-hmm. M-I-N-T, mm-hmm. and that's a free tool where you can track all of your spending, all of your, it's a little unnerving because you have to give them your passwords to your mm-hmm. bank accounts and to your credit cards, but they go to the nth degree to make it as secure as possible, and I trust it. I've used it for quite some time now. Yeah. It's a great tool for developing a budget and tracking automatically, really, where the money's going. One of my favorite tools for planning for later years, how much do we need to be setting aside for our later years, for retirement, and are we on track? On Fidelity's website, fidelity.com, if you search for the My Plan Snapshot, you just enter 5 bits of information, answer 5 questions, and it'll give you a quick read as to whether you're on track, and if not, what you need to do to get more on track. And then in terms of kind of saving money on a day-to-day basis, there are a couple of sites that I use quite a bit. There's actually a new one that's a really good one on the ask.com site. So ASK, ask.com. If you go to ask.com/deals, that is a deal aggregator. They're looking at all the different deal sites and finding coupon codes for specific merchants that you want to buy something from. What I do is I go there, find a coupon code, and then I go to ebates.com, like rebates, but without the R, ebates.com, and sometimes then you'll go to the merchant through Ebates that you want to buy something from. Sometimes you can double dip. You'll get some money back through Ebates, and you'll be able to enter the coupon code and get a discount as well.
That works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's those are great recommendations. I actually wasn't familiar with the with most of those. I was familiar with Mint. In fact, I've been using Quicken's kind of version of that. And do I recall that this in 2009 they actually did they merged, didn't they? Or they
that's
Quicken
right.
bought Mint, yeah.
Intuit, the company that owns Quicken, bought Mint.com. Mm-hmm. They were kind of, I mean, Quicken has been out there for a long time as software. They more recently got into the free online space as Mint and some others got into that space. And I was kind of surprised, but I saw that that's right. Intuit purchased Mint in 2009.
Yeah, yeah. So these are examples of tools that are just out there. As long as you have internet access, you can save some money. It takes effort, but we can save some money.
Absolutely.
You know, the title of your first book, Money, Purpose, Joy. I think it's a pretty intriguing title there. What's the relationship between those three words?
You know, there's a direct relationship. What I've noticed over the years, Andy, is that there's a lot of financial information readily available, a lot of how-to information. There's information on the internet, in books and magazines. There's just a lot of how-to information out there. But what occurred to me is that it doesn't seem to be helping. You know, people seem to be getting further into debt, and it just seems like money continues to be a struggle for a lot of people. Right. And so I said, what's missing? And I think the missing key is a greater understanding of our purpose, that if we get the purpose of our life, then the purpose of our money becomes much clearer. Mm. And so I looked at a lot of research. There's a lot of people that have been studying happiness. What is it that constitutes a meaningful, purposeful, happy life? Yeah. And if you look at it, it's really very different than the messages we get every day in our culture. You know, our culture would tell us that life is about me, my pleasure and my comfort. But these researchers say really the happiest people are the people that are living for something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the culture would tell us that it's money and things that are the primary determinants of our happiness. But these researchers say it's really relationships with people that cause happiness. And the culture would tell us that we live in competition to have more and better stuff than our neighbor. But these researchers say, live a life of contribution, not a life of competition. And so it's a very different approach to life. And I think that if people can learn to filter their financial decisions through those three key purposes, Will this purchase help me fulfill my purpose in life, my, you know, what's bigger than myself that I'm living for? Will they actually contribute to the good of my relationships with the people in my life? And will they enable me to make a difference with my life? People will make better financial decisions.
Yeah, so instead of money, pain and suffering, it's money, purpose, joy. There,
yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know, in addition to your books, which I just think are just very well written, Matt, you did a very nice job of just making it very accessible. You also do workshops, and I in particular, I like your one-hour power lunches where you come on site to organizations and you share financial insights. And it's a good way for companies to just to pour into their employees, so the employees can start experiencing more financial peace and success. So, what are some examples of your most popular sessions, and how could someone who's listening find out about bringing you into their company?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. I do a three-hour workshop that goes, it's really a hands-on, roll-up-your-sleeves, get some work done, where people develop a plan for the future, for their income and their cash flow. They learn some of the ideas and practices of how to get out and stay out of debt, how to spend really effectively, how to build savings and invest wisely. And so that's the one that's really comprehensive and gives people a chance to create a customized plan for themselves. And then I realized, you know, people are busy, and it's hard sometimes for companies to pull people off the job for even half a day. And so I've created these, as you mentioned, power lunches, where we take some of the individual topics of the longer workshop and just focus on those. And so give people an hour of content around the development of a spending plan. I call it the millionaire's secret weapon, because there's research out there that over half of millionaire households use a budget. And that's kind of surprising for people. And so I teach people that, hey, here's something that millionaires do that any of us can do. And so it's a one-hour workshop focused specifically on how to set that up. And then there are other of these power lunches about focused on getting out of debt and staying out of debt, on spending really effectively. So it kind of takes those pieces of the longer workshop and breaks it down into bite-sized pieces.
That's great. You know, I gotta tell you, I love asking this question to people who speak and write for a living, only because it's easy for us to know that these are the right things to say, but sometimes it's difficult for us to do. So out of all the things, all the advice you give in your books and workshops and keynotes and power lunches, you know, Matt, for you personally, what's the most difficult for you to follow yourself?
Well, it's all easy for me, Andy.
Well, of course, yeah. Same with me on projects.
That's a great question. You hope that the cobbler's kids have decent shoes, right?
Right.
That's a great question. And I think for me, I think we all struggle on a daily basis, and I'm no different, with kind of the messages of the culture. I think the culture does a great job of very overtly and in some very subtle ways telling us that we don't have enough stuff, that we need newer and better stuff. And, you know, I find myself looking around and, gee, I'd like to upgrade the car at some point. So I think it's easy for me, it's too easy for me to kind of fall prey to some of that thinking that I need newer and better stuff. And I find that the antidote, I mean, it doesn't solve it completely. I think it's a daily sort of choice and decision that we make. But I think the key antidote to that is gratitude. It's taking a look at what we do have and being consciously thankful for it, and actually reminding yourself that, hey, I've got transportation to where I need to go. It's reliable and all that. It may not be the latest, greatest, and it may not be able to parallel park itself, but it's great. And so to be thankful for it. But I would say that's the thing that, you know, every day I'm hearing the messages that everybody hears, and I sometimes fall in prey to thinking that I don't have enough and I need better and newer stuff.
Yeah, it's so easy to get sucked in. You know, Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time to share these insights with us here on the People and Projects podcast. For those who are listening, as you look forward to this new year, I highly recommend you get your hand on Matt's two books. First one's called Money, Purpose, Joy. The other one, Money Strategies for Tough Times. I also recommend you consider bringing Matt in to share some practical insights during a company meeting or a retreat. It's just a great way to help your teams get a better handle on their finances. And as Matt said, it's not just information. They'll actually be developing plans in those workshops. It's a way to just provide some financial peace in the midst of some pretty turbulent times. Links to Matt's book, his websites, and some of the sites that he mentioned in this interview will also be in the show notes for this cast. Matt, thank you for joining us today on the People and Projects podcast. I really enjoyed the opportunity to speak with you.
Andy, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Make sure to check out the show notes for links to Matt's resources. Hey, quick question. how are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? We're far enough into the new year that at least statistically, many of those resolutions will have fallen off the radar screen, but they don't have to. If you haven't yet heard my interview with Jordan Goldberg, CEO of Stick.com, make sure you check it out. Jordan's site has helped me reach my New Year's weight loss goal in far less time than I planned, and you might just find a way to use their site to achieve some financial-related goals this year as well. Hey, please join me in our next podcast when I interview Keith Ferrazzi, author of the bestseller Never Eat Alone, and his new book, Who's Got Your Back? Relationships are a key ingredient to your success at work, with projects, and in life. And Keith is the foremost authority on the topic. Hey, and one last thing. Would you take a moment to let a friend or colleague know about the People and Projects podcast? I'd love to pour into them as well to help them lead people and deliver projects. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have a great week.